Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
23, your Pittsburgh Steelers 20 in overtime. Juju Smith-Schuster coughed it up. Ravens recover. Justin Tucker never misses a kick. And the Steelers now 1-4. Licking their wounds this afternoon, a lot to get to. James Conner going to join us at 5 o'clock. I'm Andrew Filippone. He's Chris Muller. All right, Chris. You put that loss on Juju?
Yep. How can you not? We're going to get to the point here, and I think I've actually reached it, where you stop kind of doing the awe, but at least he feels really bad and clearly was broken up about it. And you start saying you're a professional. Don't make plays that rip the team's guts out in huge situations. He's now made two of them in the last seven games, I think, that the team has played. His fumble against the Saints probably cost them that game as well. His fumble here probably in a more definitive way cost them this game, because the way Duck was going, oddly enough, it looked like they were probably going to get the requisite 10 to 15 more yards after Juju's catch that they would have needed to kick a pretty reasonable game-winning field goal. He absolutely fumbled the game, and by extension, let's call it what it is, their season and any chance they had of turning it around away.
For two straight years.
Correct. He has fumbled away. Last year, he fumbled away a playoff berth.
Mm-hmm.
This year, he fumbled away any reasonable chance they would have at one. So, yeah, it's very lit out there. And what's dimming right now is their hope of having any kind of a respectable year. And it's his fault. It is. There's a lot of culpable parties here. But the guy that was supposed to be the best playmaker on the team is the principal one.
Yeah, this is really interesting to me in this way. It's a way of looking into the way fans treat athletes in this town, and when a guy goes from being everybody's favorite player, everybody's most popular, lovable athlete, to, you know, penthouse to outhouse in not a lot of time. And I think what happened after the New Orleans game, right after it happened, Juju got a free pass from just about everybody. And, like, no one wanted to hear the fact that he had made the most crucial gaffe or mistake in that game. And then 24 hours later, Antonio Brown goes absolutely nuts. And so that mistake or blunder got swept right under the rug. And by extension, because Antonio Brown ended up being persona non grata and such a toxic, radioactive person, it elevated Juju Smith-Schuster more and more. And I told you this a couple of weeks ago. I said, if this keeps up where Juju is putting up good numbers but not great numbers, the extra stuff that has made him what he is, the brand building, the personality building, the social media building, that is going to flip on him.
Yeah,
and he went from being, when you are the center of attention and you embrace it or you create it and you want the spotlight on yourself, when you seek it out, when you go out of your way to be a public personality, that is a very tricky thing in today's professional sports climate to do. Because as soon as you stop being productive, or your team starts to lose, or you fumble in an important time, everybody is then going to use that against you.
Well, that's,
and I think we're watching
that. It's a lazy thing, though, by people to use it against him. I know that that's why the venom has turned so directly towards him and is so nasty, but the IUP stuff or the social media brand building, no matter how much people want to conflate the two, has absolutely nothing to do with him not securing the ball. Like, I understand why people get mad, because everyone has that, like, fetishizes this idea that all these guys do is play football and they don't have lives outside of it, which is, of course, infantile to actually think of. But what bothers me the most is that you have a guy who is supposed to be your best, forget about the off the field stuff, he's supposed to be your best playmaker, who you just played a clip of him saying, that's what Marlon Humphrey does, everybody knows it, I knew it, and he doesn't secure the football. Perform. Perform. You know why I'm mad at Juju Smith-Schuster? Because he's not performing.
But that play that we're talking about there, if it happens last year, the narrative is great play by Marlon Humphrey.
Well, now people are watching the team.
Slack.
Now people are watching a team that's 1-4 because of it,
or,
and not 9-6.
Or, you know,
and there's
what?
No Antonio Brown to be a shield and take all the criticism.
Or, you know, Ben Roethlisberger in Jacksonville throws picks. Well, those were great plays by Jalen Ramsey. Certain guys build up enough equity and credibility where if it's close, and you could say with this play it was close, where you had to evaluate, was it more a great defensive play or more a mistake made by a player? In a vacuum, you might get 50-50 on that.
Not anymore,
but
with him.
He's lost. That's what I'm saying.
What has he lost it
Juju
more because
has
of,
lost
though?
The benefit of the doubt.
I don't think he's lost it, though, because of the off-field
yes,
stuff.
I think he's lost it
because it's two fumbles in seven games that have gutted them like a fish.
I disagree with you on that because people started to turn on James Conner a little bit, but not to this extreme. And this is, Le'Veon Bell starts to say, I'm not going to play for the franchise tag, the rapping becomes a problem. Antonio Brown starts to act like a jackass. The commercials and the things he does to put money in his own pocket away from playing for the Steelers turns into a problem.
Okay, then my question to you that I want you to answer is, do you feel people are right to feel that way about this stuff? Because I think it's a ridiculous thing to concern yourself with if you're a fan. Who are you? If you're a fan, who are you to tell that guy you shouldn't try to make money on the side in a sport where your career is probably going to be a lot shorter than it is long in most cases? I get the basic anger because people want, and this is the tale as old as time, people want the athlete to care as much as they do about the outcome.
Yep.
And I think in most cases they do. Like, I don't think Juju is like, you know what? I fumbled the game away. Oh, well, on to the next one.
Yeah, you know what?
You're basically reaching in the guy's pocket to say,
what?
Don't do this, don't do that. And that part I don't care for.
I blame us, not like media. I blame us consumers, sports fans, as much as I blame Juju. You know why? Because now we have this thing where we put players on a pedestal and we treat them as gods before they win anything. Before they win anything. And so that's my biggest issue, is that like Juju got a big head and got blown out of proportion before he won anything. He's never won a playoff game. Not one playoff game. So that's my issue. Like, there are players that got to a point in this town where they were godlike and they hadn't won anything. And isn't that really what it should boil down to? You get canonized in places like Pittsburgh when you win.
Winning's probably the biggest thing of it.
Right?
I mean, a championship buys you probably more time than it should because the quarterback got free pass after free pass here, and he hasn't won a Super Bowl in a decade.
But he's got two.
I understand that. But in his case, what have you done for me lately? He's their most important player. We're seeing that bear out. But he hasn't won a Super Bowl in a decade. Whether he has two or not, you'd think would be irrelevant, but it's the power of a championship.
But when you don't win and you're a public personality and you fall short of expectations and goals, team goals.
Well, yeah, people are going to look for anything they can.
It's an easy outlet for people like me to say, well, maybe if you put winning first, you would be better at
your
job.
But he is. But that's you're better than that. And I'm not saying that you're insinuating that. It's a lazy argument to say that because he goes out and does all these other things outside of football.
But the optics of it aren't good, Chris. Bottom line.
What, that he's doing, that he's partying and he's out there publicly? Unless somebody could definitively prove to me, you know, he went to IUP and there's actually a correlation between partying at IUP and fumbling in football games. Unless somebody could prove that to me, which they never could, don't care.
I agree with you on that. But do you disagree with the following statement? Players like Juju Smith-Schuster care more about their brand than they do winning?
Impossible. I know he cares about his brand. He cares about making money, which I feel like most people listening to this show would not want to.
Would he rather get $1 million deal from Fortnite or win the Super Bowl?
Juju?
Yeah.
I think he'd rather win the Super Bowl because that $1 million deal from Fortnite without one would probably be about a $4 million deal with
one. So the endorsements would come with the Super Bowl.
Ramon Foster loves to toe that line, and I think Ramon's fairly sharp about matters financial. Ramon says you win a Super Bowl, everybody eats. Contract-wise, endorsements-wise, it all comes around if you can say Super Bowl champion or World Series champion or
all I'm saying
Stanley
is if
Cup
Vance
champion.
McDonald fumbles the ball there and they lose, Vance McDonald is getting criticism, but people aren't saying that his priorities are out of whack, right? Am I right about that?
Probably if any other
crushed for it.
Probably if any other player on the offense at this point fumbles the ball there. No one's giving them the specific, the you're partying too much, you don't care about winning argument. I would agree with that.
All right, we got a ton to talk about today. Mike Tomlin, the rumor to the Redskins, we'll be all over that. Devlin Hodges, Mason Rudolph, news on Rudolph's availability and also news on what the league is going to do after that hit, that vicious hit from Earl Thomas. I'm Andrew Filippone. He's Chris Muller. A lot to talk about today. We're the PM team on 93.7 The Fan. 93.7 The Fan times 243. Time to visit House of 1000 Beers, locations in Wexford and New Kensington, the home of the best Reuben sandwiches in town. Devlin Hodges, who stepped in, and I thought right away, Chris, it looked like the coaches had more faith in him than Mason Rudolph.
I've got Devlin Hodges' takes after that game yesterday, and you might, if you're one of the people that has just bellyached nonstop about the fact that neither one of us on this show is a Mason Rudolph believer, well, you might want to like just close your ears and say la 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 here. I thought it was obvious that the team operated with more cohesiveness and confidence with Devlin Hodges. And I got this response from people yesterday who said, well, maybe if Rudolph hadn't had to have wildcat plays, you know, thrown out there while he was out there, he would have been fine. You don't do the wildcat if you believe in the guy. You scrap it because it's a gimmick offense to cover for basically a quarterback that can't hack it. I'm sorry. Devlin Hodges comes in there and they ran their stuff and he rewarded them. He stood in the pocket and he made throws. And this is my thought on him. He's what, 5'11", 5'10", probably. If Devlin Hodges with an okay arm, because he doesn't have a great arm either, if he was 6'4", though, with the ability to put the ball where it was supposed to be and just on time, he'd have been a first or second round pick because that's where guys who are 6'4", who look the part, go. If you're 5'10", 5'11", and you don't have great wheels, I know he had that long run, but he's not like a traditional running threat like Kyler Murray or somebody like that. You probably are making it to the NFL to even get a sniff of the league only because you are damn good at everything else a quarterback is supposed to be good at. That's what he looked like. He looked like a dude that walked in, the moment wasn't too big. After Rudolph finally got off the field, and I think Hodges had had one drive, they showed him like warming up for the next drive. Looked on the sideline like a guy completely unbothered. If Smith-Schuster doesn't fumble, I think he leads a game-winning drive in overtime. He stood that pass, if you go back and look at it, the one that ended up turning the game away from the Steelers' favor, he stood in there against a pass rush and delivered a ball right where it was supposed to be.
Yep.
In tight coverage.
Yeah.
Check down, hit his guy when he had an opening, when there was nobody on a play. Coverage was good. Took off, threw a seam, and ran decisively. I think he's a better quarterback than Mason Rudolph. I saw more legit, like, provable good stuff from him in, what, a quarter and a half of football than I've seen from Rudolph. Accurate throws, confident delivery, commanded that huddle very clearly. What if you did not go into a Devlin Hodges, Mason Rudolph situation with a preconceived notion based on draft status or lack thereof about who was supposed to be better, and you just stacked two guys side by side and said, we're not telling you where they got drafted, most everybody would watch Devlin Hodges and say, that's the better player. Probably got drafted higher, right?
Unless you just completely based your opinion on the size of the player. And
well, then you might as well start Paxton Lynch. He's like 6'8". He's a power forward.
Oh, there are absolutely coaches over there who thought that after Ben Roethlisberger, Devlin Hodges was their best quarterback.
I think he probably is. I think that was pretty clear.
He had allies. He had strong advocates there. That's partly why. It was not the biggest reason why. But getting him back in the building absolutely contributed to Josh Dobbs getting traded, because it created an opening for him, and they thought they could sneak him on their practice squad. So I think Devlin Hodges getting thrust into a situation as a rookie who didn't get drafted, mm-hmm. I think is going to be really hard if he has to play.
It's the same caveat I throw out there
amount of games.
All the time. It's easier to come in midstream when they haven't prepped for you, but guess what? I said that about Minshew, who's very similar insofar as he got drafted late because he had Mike Leach, right? And he put up crazy numbers. But Minshew's not a big dude. He's probably about my height, no arm strength. The ball's on time. Half the battle in the NFL is, do you know where to go with the football, when to go there, and do you know when to just step into it? What did Randy Feekner say about Mason Rudolph? Sometimes he's got to cut it loose downfield if he sees it.
There's some apprehension sometimes where he's thinking about the decision with Rudolph. With Hodges, he's a slow heartbeat guy where it does not faze him. It could be Samford versus Jacksonville State, and that to him is the same stage as Steelers-Ravens. The moment and the stress and pressure of the moment did not look to phase him whatsoever. He tried to make one Herculean play.
And he got a freebie because there was a penalty, and right. It seemed like he learned from it. I said that at the time when the game happened.
He stepped
into
throws and made rhythm on the
correct.
Money throws.
Yes.
The best play I've seen Rudolph make since he went into the lineup was the one that he got injured on. It looked, that to me was a play that looked like vintage Big Ben.
Yeah, he
where he
dodged
got free,
pressure. Yeah.
He was a bigger body, staved off pressure, got around, and then took a hit to make a play, unfortunately. And then with Hodges, like, the offense just had so much more flow.
It looked like, here's how I rated it.
There was no panic in his teammates
like they,
or anybody.
It looked like
coaches
they knew
too.
What they wanted to do and how they were going to go about doing it. I'm sorry, you look in a situation like that, here's what I really took note of, and part of this is maybe because they just have not, again, been able to establish a running game. They have him in there. That game goes to overtime. I think if you have no real trust in your quarterback, you're probably, A, taking the ball, even if you think your return team stinks, on the off chance, if you win that toss, somebody breaks one, just something goes your way. And then, once you actually get the ball, because obviously we know that they chose to kick, you're probably running the football, right? Or you're trying to maybe hit a gimmick play to get down towards field goal range, and then you're going to cross your fingers and hope you're strong enough elsewhere. They threw the ball. They said, drop back and go win the game. And he was well on his way to doing that until Smith-Schuster fumbled.
Yeah. That was one of the reasons why I wanted the Steelers to take the ball to start overtime, because if there was a touchback, if Hodges had to start at his own 25, I was confident that he could lead him downfield for some kind of scoring
play. At least
play.
A field goal.
Yeah.
And then you probably had enough See, that's where I thought Mike Tomlin did sort of get too cute for his own good. It ended up working because his defense looked great. But yeah, I got the sense that if you could, and Tucker, by the way, and this is something I believe, I think Tucker's good enough to kick the ball to the one or two every time. I really do. Like, I don't think that's Tomlin it being in his head. But if you could get the ball to 25, I think Hodges is going to go out there. I think he's going to calmly execute what you're calling, and he's probably going to move you at least to midfield so you've got good field position if you do have to punt the ball.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy and McMurray. Join Sun on Tuesday, October 15th, and help them support the fight against breast cancer. Low of 45 tonight. Coming up at 3 o'clock, the NFL and the response to the Ola penalty. The roughing call that helped the Ravens tie the game in regulation. What is the NFL saying about that play? You'll find out in 10 minutes as the PM team on the Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.